the text was just read to you. It's not very often that a person is asked to preach a 10-minute sermon on the whole book of the Bible, but I'll try. I needn't tell you that slavery as an institution was part and parcel of all the great ancient civilizations all the way from Egypt to Rome. I needn't tell you that it was a vice which was a part of our culture in the 19th century, first of all white slavery, and then later on the enslavement of the black man by the white man. But it is a stubborn fact that Scripture nowhere condemns slavery as an infraction of the moral law. I didn't say that Scripture condones it, but it doesn't condemn it. And there is a good reason for that, and Philemon is a good place to look for this reason. As was read to you just a moment ago, Onesimus had run away from Philemon, his master, and although Philemon had become a Christian through the teaching and preaching of Paul, evidently he had treated Onesimus according to native law and custom, and Onesimus became fed up with it and ran away. By some strange act of providence, Onesimus fell into the hands of St. Paul. Whether they were acquainted before or not, I don't know, nor does either one, anyone else. But through the teaching of Paul, Onesimus became a Christian. Now, what was Paul going to do? Well, he didn't write Philemon a long discourse on the evils of slavery. He didn't even ask Philemon to give Onesimus his freedom. He didn't even order him to do anything, but he urged him as a child of Paul, as one who had become a Christian through his ministrations, to treat Onesimus as a brother. And therein lay the conquering of slavery. Now, Paul knew what slavery was, because before he became a Christian, there was no worse slave driver than St. Paul himself. As you know, he tried to dominate the will and life of those who confessed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was a matter of grief to him for the rest of his life. Slavery didn't end with the letter of St. Paul to Philemon. Slavery didn't end in the United States with the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation in January 1863. Slavery is just as much with us today as it ever was in any moment of history. Think for a moment of the war between management and labor. 100 years ago, management tried to dominate the life and will of labor, and it gave all kinds of empty excuses for doing so. Now the tables have been turned, and I know you can get a hot argument started about this one, but it is quite apparent that labor is trying to enslave management. A clear example of slavery, isn't it? At the heart of a lot of divorce problems lies slavery, doesn't it? Spouse tries to enslave spouse in one way or another. At the heart of many problems between parents and children lies attempted slavery. And even pastors have to be warned again and again and again that they should not enslave the minds and wills of their people, but that they should serve them as masters. One of the best passages on the whole topic of slavery is John chapter 8. You remember John told the Pharisees, "If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the Pharisees realized right away that he was accusing them of not being free. And they said, "Oh, we're free. Abraham's our father. We've never been enslaved to anybody." Jesus said, "Well, if that were true, then you would act like Abraham. He didn't ever try to kill me." Well, he had them. So they switched from calling Abraham their father to God as their father. They said, "Oh, we've been born of God." And Jesus said, "Is that so? If you were the children of God, you would do the works of God. But I'm telling you that you don't do the works of God because you're doing the works of your father, who is the devil. Wamble. And how did they come back to him? They said, "Ah, you're a Samaritan and you're full of the devil." Now, the modern equivalent of that would be, "You're just an SOB and you're the devil in person." That's what they were saying to him. And the worst slavery that was ever committed in the history of the world was the death of Christ. Because his enemies dominated his life and will, they thought, and they carried it to its extreme. They killed him, they thought. But through that act came the greatest blessing the world has ever seen. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him, unto them. And herein lies the secret of Paul's letter to Philemon. What, of course, lies at the heart of it is the atonement. Paul could call Philemon his own son. And as Luther said, really, Paul was taking the place of Christ here when he spoke to Philemon. He said, "I've given you rebirth and you're my child." Now he says, "I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm urging you on the basis of what Christ means for you to call Philemon, Onesimus, your brother and treat him like a brother from here on." And evidently he did. You're not called to end all the slavery in our society. You're not called to cure all the ills which sometimes amount to slavery, even in the Missouri Synod. You're not called to cure all the ills at Concordia Seminary. You're not called to cure all the slavery and ills even in your family. But you do know the one who has cured all the slavery in your very own life, though you may be guilty of trying to dominate other people. Even those sins, God has forgiven. There are a lot of mysteries in life, aren't there? And the longer we live, the less we know about how to cure ills, but we do know how to give men their eternal freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. I often think about the book of Daniel. You know, in a vision, God permitted Daniel to see all the kingdoms of this world march past him. And Daniel was so depressed that he couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep. But God said to him, "There is one kingdom that will survive them all, the kingdom of our Lord, at the coming of the Messiah, who will cure the greatest ill of all, that is the domination of Satan over men, the forgiveness of sins, and everlasting life." That is the sole answer for slavery amid all the problems in which we live. And so may the Lord this day make us conscious of the fact that we are free through what he has said. "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.